three times this room.
Hey Mitch, where's my stuff?
Been in this room about twice.
Don't have any of our meetings here.
No, we usually don't.
Your intros?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, you got a problem with one of your things, Bob? What section? 23? Why do you want to delete it? All right, we're in Fort Masika County.
Where?
WMA?
WMA, yeah.
Doesn't say that on here.
No.
This is the Environment Natural Resources Subcommittee on Public Lands and Waters, Friday morning, March 13th. It's about 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. Call the subcommittee to order. And we're going to, just for people's information, we're going to try to work, we're going to work my bill 1123 first and lay that on the table as the bill to attach these other bills to members. And then Senator Latz has some family conflicts this morning, but he has a bill up before us, and so I have given him the 10 o'clock time frame. So when he gets here at 10 o'clock, we're going to allow him to present so that he can do that and then be on his way. And I'm going to start and pass the gavel to Senator Saxog, and Ms. Lewis will join me at the witness table.
Welcome, Senator Scogin. We have Senate File 1123.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 1123, of course, is the lands addressed by the DNR every year. We get a little pile of lands that, well, Ms. Lewis will explain it. Small parcels and difficult pieces, and they kind of find them every year and combine them into a little lands bill for us. And Ms. Lewis, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair,
my name is
I'm Kathy Lewis, the Assistant Director of Lands and Minerals, DNR. This is the DNR land omnibus boundary bill and sale bill that you will typically see every year. Section 1, Article 1, is a small policy item. What it does is gives us additional means to resolve trespasses. With inadvertent trespasses on state land, it will authorize us to do direct sales without coming and seeking legislation or going through the land exchange process. What this does is it builds on the boundary line resolution process prescribed in 84.0273 and is similar to the direct sale process for surplus trail lands as authorized under 85.015. It cannot cover school trust lands because under the Constitution they can only be sold through public sale, but it will eliminate some of these small parcels coming before the legislature. Sections 2 and 3 of Article 1 are technical changes. They correct the legal descriptions for deletions from state parks as provided in legislation enacted in 2008. There were two minor errors in the legal descriptions for Lake Chetek, which is a road that will be transferred to Murray Township, and then also a parcel, Moose Lake, that's being transferred to the correctional facility. And so these are going to be updates that will occur. Section 4 adds lands to two state parks. Subdivision 1 is Fort Snelling Park. It adds 1.69 acres. The parcel will provide continuity and management in this area of the park. Subdivision 2 of Section 4 is Mille Lacs Cathio State Park in Mille Lacs County. It adds 194 acres. Both tracts have significant cultural resources. The parcel on Lake Onamia is currently state-owned, but it's no longer needed for forestry purposes. The second parcel borders Warren Lake and will provide protection of adjacent wetlands, lakeshore, and prehistoric burial mounds. Section 5 deletes lands from two state parks. Subdivision 1 is Lake Bemidji State Park in Beltrami County. It deletes 2.59 acres. These are lots in a tiny town called the Lavinia, and two of the platted lots are state-owned, and they're identified for possible future sale, and the four adjoining lots are private lots, and the DNR has no plans to acquire those in the future. Subdivision 2 of Section 5 is the Great River Bluff State Park in Winona County. It's 17 acres, and it's deleting privately owned lots within the statutory boundary, and the DNR has no plans to acquire in the future. Article 2 of the bill is the land sale parcels. Sections 1 to 25 authorize the sale of DNR-administered land. The legislation is required either because the lands border water or because a direct sale is being proposed. For the trust lands, the goal is to continue the sale of school trust lands to fulfill the direction to secure maximum long-term economic return consistent with fiduciary responsibilities, sound natural resource conservation and management principles, and other specific policy directed by law. For acquired lands, the goal is to continue the surplus and sale of lands the DNR does not need, with the proceeds deposited in the land acquisition account and used to purchase land for the outdoor recreation system. Overall, Article 2 authorizes public sale of a total of 162 acres of school trust land and 346 acres of acquired land, and the direct sale of 42 acres of acquired land. That brings the total to 550 acres. I can go through parcel by parcel for you to answer any questions, but I will note that we have just identified that we would like to have Section 23 of Article 2 deleted from the bill. This is a parcel in Waseca County. It's 33 acres of acquired wildlife land. It's acquired by gift, and it's called the Tom Cliff Jr. Memorial WMA. And the department would like to have further time to have discussions with the local units of government to see if it's appropriate to convey it to that local unit of government as opposed to proceeding with public sale.
Mr. Chair, I move that we delete Section 23.
Motion by Senator Scogin to remove Section 23 from, From Senate File 1123. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Go ahead, Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, there's John Lilly from the Division of Parks here to answer any more detailed questions you have concerning the parks parcels, and I would be happy to go into detail or answer any questions you have concerning the different land sale parcels. Stand for questions.
Are there any questions from the committee? If not, is there anybody in the audience that would want to give some testimony? Okay, well, as Senator Scogin, would you move that Senate File 1123 as amended be recommended to pass and laid on the table for further consideration?
I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Mr. Canal.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lewis, Section 24, it says by private sale to Afton Alps. Afton Alps, my understanding, is a private organization. We usually don't name the private sale. I mean, there are some constitutional issues with doing that. Do you know if that's why we're doing it here?
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, members, that part of the bill was drafted by our Division of Parks people, and it would certainly be acceptable to remove the reference to whom we are conveying it to and just authorize by private sale.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I think that would be wise. There was a court decision dealing with the Bayport Wildlife Management Area a number of years ago, and I think that the court even quoted that since we didn't name, because it was being challenged, and since we didn't name the party, that was the reason that they were able to go through with the sale. I think if you would, Mr. Chairman, I'd suggest on 29.17, delete to Afton Alps.
Senator Scogin?
Mr. Knopf, is that the only reference in that?
Chairman.
Yes, it is. Okay. I would make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Description otherwise.
All right. Senator Scogin makes motion to remove Afton Alps referred to in on line
29.17.
29.17. Any discussion?
We're removing two Afton Alps after the word sale.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Ingridson.
Thank you. Just a point of interest or question to this is certainly a private sale, but it's going to be documented someplace as a private sale to these people, so it's going to be a matter of public record eventually, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingridson, yes. It's just the legislature can't pass laws that give any private entity any specific advantage or whatever, and that by naming them here it would look like we are, or the legislature is.
Any other discussion to the motion to remove two Afton Alps from the bill? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? All right, any other discussion on 1123?
Mr. Chair, I would just ask Mr. Knopf if he sees anything else at this time that might concern him, I guess. He's our legal expert on this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin, not right now, but if we between now and the full committee, if there's anything else, we'll.
Then, Mr. Chair, I'd renew my motion.
All right, Senator Scogin renews his motion that 1123, as amended, be recommended to pass and laid on the table for further consideration. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Page three.
Opposed. 1123 is on the table. Thank you, Ms. Lewis, Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Senator Saxog, and now we'll take up your Senate File 175. Welcome to the committee, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 175, I do have an amendment, an A1 amendment for that.
Senator Saxog moves the A1 amendment while it's being passed out. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill will make a change in Itasca County relating to the apportionment of the proceeds from the sale of some of the tax forfeited lands that were related to the big land exchange we had up there with that eventually brought about the construction or continued construction of Esser Steel. And it was the largest land exchange. It was the largest land exchange in the state. And with me today is Bob Sherrill from Itasca County, their land department land specialist, and Kathy Lewis from the DNR to go over some of the language and help answer any questions.
Bob Sherrill, welcome to the committee. If you just identify yourself, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Sherrill, real estate specialist for Itasca County.
Would Mr. Sherrill, would you like to testify to this amendment?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
The Itasca County manages many acres of tax forfeited lands in Itasca County for natural resource benefits. Consolidation of those lands provides significant advantages in providing those benefits. In the past, this has been accomplished through land exchange, which can be a very cumbersome process in some situations. This bill allows us to accomplish the same thing through a sell and buy approach, which would be much more efficient.
Questions for Mr. Sherrill?
Mr. Chairman, probably would be good if Kathy Lewis from the DNR weighed in a little bit on this one.
Appreciate
too.
That. Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, members, the DNR has reviewed this language, and but from the original bill, we suggested some clarifying language regarding the parcels described as land exchange, and we also recommended that they carry forward language from legislation from 2006 that identifies when they purchase the replacement lands that the lands also become tax forfeited lands. And that's the language you see reflected in the amendment, so that meets the issues that the DNR identified. And for the disposition of proceeds, we regarded that as a local issue for their local common. The DNR was not weighing in on the issue of the use of the proceeds.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Knopf, does it look like it meets muster?
Yes, Mr.
Good.
Chair.
Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one question. We're not talking about any particular tract of land here, and if we are, how many acres?
No particular tract. This is a general.
Senator
Ingebretson. No particular tract of land. Just it's kind of a general bill that would apply to scattered 40s that we have throughout the county.
Other questions?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ingebretson, we kind of look at this as another step in, not at the state level, but certainly at the county level, is consolidation of forest lands. You know, when we have these isolated 40s that are embedded, either exchanging or selling them to consolidate land.
Mr. Chairman, if I could make a comment. I mean, this was done for some specific lands a few years ago, and now what this is doing is giving the county broad authority to do this on a long-term basis. In fact, there is no end to this special law for Itasca County. They can continue to do this for a while. It may be something to consider for all counties in the tax forfeited land statutes to do this. I mean, Itasca County has asked for this, but instead of the money always going back to the local unit of government, this way they can do a kind of a pseudo exchange where you're selling lands and then buying other lands, and then they take the same status as the lands you sold. So the local government still derive revenue from those new lands, rather than always having to put the money back to the local unit of government and then not having the money to acquire lands elsewhere. So that it may be something to look at in the future for all counties, but right now it's Itasca County will have that authority.
Other questions? If not, Senator Saxhog would like to lay this on the table for possible inclusion.
I would, Mr. Chair. I would move that Senate File 175 as amended be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion with 1123.
To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Saxhog, you can stay, and we'll take Senate File 176.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. 176.
I believe you have an amendment on this one.
Yeah, we have an amendment for 176 to A2.
Senator Saxhog moves the A2 amendment. It's being passed out. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill will make a change relating to leases for facilities that deal with tailings basins and stockpiles. Probably realize that although mining is starting to flourish again up on the Iron Range, if you travel up there, you see stockpiles and mine dumps and tailings ponds all over the place. And recently, there's been, as I said, not only renewed mining, but a new way of taking these stockpiles and tailing ponds and deriving iron out of them. So that's kind of exciting. And this will help us do that. And with me again is Bob Sherrill from the from Itasca County Land Department, the specialist there, and Kathy Lewis from the DNR Division of Lands and Minerals to go over this language.
Welcome, Mr. Sherrill. We'll let you testify to this bill if you'd like.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Itasca County will be leasing a significant acreage of tax forfeited surface of tax forfeited lands to two mining operations in the near future. Both companies have expressed concern about the length of the lease periods, the short length of lease periods. Itasca County is asking the state to consider extending those lease periods, and this bill does that.
Mr. Sherrill, on line 319 through 321, there's also some added language. Not knowing the mining industry, could you just give me a brief description of why that's been added to the bill?
The additional language there refers to recovery. Well, it says recovery of iron oxides from tailings, there's a new technology up on the range where they're using some of these old tailings basins and extracting the iron that wasn't extracted the first time through. And this language includes that mining operation in those for those leases.
Mr. Sherrill, also in line 318, it talks about permits, licenses, and leases. Mining companies typically need all three to deposit their waste products? Or is it combinations of those three? Or
the process I'm involved right now in is with the leases. The county, I'm not aware of, I haven't been involved in the permits and licensing process for those operations.
Mr. Chair, I would think that's basically a state function. Maybe Ms. Lewis would have a comment on that.
Ms. Lewis?
Mr. Chair, members, Kathy Lewis, DNR. The language here in the bill is the grant permits, licenses, and leases is probably nice, archaic legal language where they try to cover all options in the legal tools that they would be used. DNR typically does a lease, and I understand the county would typically use the lease as a tool. Sometimes short-term permits would be the term that would be granted if there's some short-term activity. So I think what it is doing is adding the flexibility to identify the appropriate legal document for the entity involved.
Ms. Lewis, when you say short-term permit, can they write in pretty much any length of time they would like to at that point, or is short-term defined?
Mr. Chair, members, the period can have to exceed 25 years as provided in the language here. When the DNR looked at the language under 9250, the DNR can have 25-year leases, and so when we looked at the proposal, we said it makes sense that the county should have the same length of period of time as the state, and currently they're limited to 15 years.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Saxog, it seems like this language is expanding the scope of the bill quite a bit by including this amendment. Is that the case, or am I off?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, I think the only thing that we're doing here is whatever page it's on.
Page
3. Where we are adding the length of the lease, you know, the years to that, and we are including something that's never really been done up on the range, and that's this magnetation, this extracting of the spent ores to get some more iron out of them. Other than that, I don't think we're expanding anything.
This isn't the sulfide mining issue.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, no, this is strictly iron. Very inert.
In other words, what I'm also asking, is this going to be a controversial provision?
Senator Saxog.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sieben, I think not.
Other questions? If not, Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would then move that Senate File 176 as amended be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion with Senate File 1123.
To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Senator Saxog. Senator Bach has a bill up. Is anyone prepared to deliver that for him? I believe you were the co.
I think I left the bill up on the.
Senator Saxog, are you willing to carry that one for him? Appreciate that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Engelbrecht.
A question, Senator Saxog. Is technology on the range, is that something new then? I mean, is that something we should. So that just kind of stuck out there a little bit. I was glad to hear that there's
when he used it in that sentence that
some
way.
Some technology going on up there. No,
Senator Box, you can use mine.
Then we got Lance and Stump.
Senator Saxog will be presenting Senate File 812
Stump his
to the best of his ability.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate File 812 is a public lands bill dealing with St. Louis County, and And with me today is Ms. Kathy Lewis from the DNR's Lands and Minerals Division to give some testimony and explain the bill.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members, every year when the county's proposed tax forfeited land sale bills, they come before the DNR for review, and we provide recommendations as provided under law to the legislature. And we have reviewed this bill, and we have no objections to the bill as it stands, but we do have one issue with one of the parcels. It's the parcel on page 3, lines 1 through 5. It's numbered 14. And that is a parcel that has is in an area where there's currently ferrous metallic mineral leasing activity. We have state leases to the north and the west. And so we've identified that this parcel may be more appropriate to remain in state ownership. We have had conversations with the county officials. They have agreed that they will work with the DNR for a year on a land exchange. With that understanding, there was agreement that it would remain in the bill, but we would be, in the meantime, working with them to see if we could do a land exchange rather than the county proceeding with a land sale. Otherwise, the DNR has no objections to the bill and has reviewed them for natural resource concerns.
Senator Saxog, do you want to amend this, or?
Well, Mr. Chair, Ms. Lewis, am I understanding that it's okay with the DNR that we leave that in there and you have the word from St. Louis County that they will continue to work, or would you prefer we take this out?
Mr. Knopf, I think, has kind of a solution.
Well, I don't know if the solution. I think Ms. Lewis mentioned it. I think what she recommended was that you could leave it in the bill right now. It gives the county the authority, but apparently they've committed for over the next year to negotiate with the department over an exchange. And then if that is unsuccessful, then they can go ahead and sell it under this provision. And so I think, Mr. Chairman, no action would be necessary.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair,
I'm just also, Senator Sachs, I'm looking if John Ongaro is here because I see he was listed as a testifier. So
I saw him in the hallway.
There's Senator Bach now.
Oh, there's Senator Bach now. We'll let him come. Senator Bach, welcome. Senator Saxog was trying to help you along here, and I see you brought a testifier with you. You can come to the table. Thank you, Senator Saxog, for getting us started.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thought you had bigger fights to fight, so we were just going to try to help you out here. But
I don't know where I was this morning, actually. the intersection of Larpenter and Snelling. Is that Falcon Heights?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been with a group of school administrators this morning, Representative Lincheski and I, kind of giving them the lay of the land, and considering what the Senate released yesterday.
You're lucky you're here today.
Well, I wouldn't describe it as a hostile crowd, but they weren't enamored with us either.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the hearing here today. And I have with me the St. Louis County Land Commissioner. And I don't know if he's prepared to walk through the bill. I just happened to catch him when I came in the building. But Senator Saxog has already done that.
We've walked through the bill. Okay. Ms. Lewis has kind of talked about it. We should point out Ms. Lewis had some concern. Was it 3-1?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Page 3, line 1, with that piece of property. And Ms. Lewis, if you'd want to maybe come to the table and explain again. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. As I previously testified on page 3, lines 1 through 5, it's called Parcel 14. This is a parcel in an area with non-ferrous metallic mineral leasing activity, and we had some concerns about the parcel being proposed for sale. We have had discussions with the county, and the county has agreed to work with the DNR on a land exchange for the next year, so they would withhold putting it up for sale within the next year to see if we can work out a land exchange between the county and the state. And then if we could not, the county would be able to proceed. So we did not object to it being left in the bill with that understanding.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chairman, maybe Ms. Lewis, I think I know what an undivided interest is. Is that the parcel we're talking about?
No.
It's this one right here.
I was at 3.10.
Excuse me.
Okay. Centerline Rice River. Hey, that's in my district. Mm-hmm. You know, I get these St. Louis County omnibus land bills. You know, they usually have a bunch of pieces in it. And there's like, where's Ungaro? And there's almost seldom anything in my district in the darn thing. I think this is Owens. Is this Owens Township? 6218?
I'm not sure, Senator Buck.
It's a big.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have minerals there. That's good. Let's mine them.
Aren't you glad you stopped by?
What else in my district is in here? Okay, so Senator, if they have an understanding on that, I think that's probably good.
Would your witness like to testify to the bills?
I'd like to.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Krepps, and I'm the land commissioner for St. Louis County. Some brief comments on the bill. We have reviewed this with in depth with the DNR and are in agreement with their comments, and I believe they're in agreement with ours. The parcel that Kathy described in parcel 14, we would like to proceed forward with the approval. There's nothing foregone. If for some reason the land exchange with the state were to fall through, and we hope that it doesn't, but if it did, then we would have the legislation where we could go ahead and proceed forward with sale. It's a 10-acre parcel sitting out in the middle of basically all private land. It's very difficult for us to manage and maintain control of. We had actually suggested a land exchange in discussion. So with that minor, point, we are in support and in agreement with the bill.
Any other questions? If not, Senator Bach, we've been laying these on the table for possible inclusion in 1123. Would you?
I can't make the motion, Mr.
Chairman.
You can't, can you? That's right. Senator Saxog.
I would move that Senate File 812 be laid on the table for possible inclusion with Senate File 1123.
To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator, and
Mr.
Krebs, Ms. Lewis.
Thank you.
We're going to move up on the agenda to Senate File 822. We've got someone, a testifier here in the room. This
yes,
is
not here.
If you're, are you ready? Well, let's go to Senate File 820. Oh, but Jen isn't here. Okay.
She's not here.
We will wait for her. I'm sorry. Well, then we'll go back to you, Senator Saxog. I know you're carrying some water for Senator Stumpf this morning as well, so we'll take up Senate File 524.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Senator Saxog.
Senate File 524 is a bill for Senator Stumpf that I'm presenting, and to explain this particular bill, we have Kathy Lewis from the Minnesota DNR.
Ms. Lewis, welcome to the committee.
Sure, happy to be here this morning. This bill is a transfer of land to the city of Red Lake Falls. It's a small parcel of land. It does have water frontage, and that's why it's before the committee. The DNR has reviewed it, discussed it with the county, and the DNR has no objections to the bill.
Questions for the witness? Senator Pariseau.
Just if you could define it in acreage, how much do you think it is? You said it was very small.
Mr. Chair, members, it is within the city limits,
and I don't have an acreage off the top. It has approximately 500 feet, and it's city-platted lots, so it's probably a few, at the most, at 1 or 2 park. Acres.
Nice to have a public park on a lake, isn't it?
Other questions? If not, Senator Saxog?
Mr. Chair, I'd move that Senate File 524 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion with 1123.
To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. We will go to Senate File 958. Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 958 is another bill Senator Stump is proposing, and again, we have our resident expert, Kathy Lewis from the DNR, to answer any questions.
Ms. Lewis.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a bill to sell a parcel of land in Kitson County, and they're looking to sell through public sale, but it's before the committee because it borders water. And it is a parcel that I can't do the acreage immediately off the top of my head. It's part of a quarter section, and it's 1,900 feet by 1,050 feet by 750 feet. So it's a little bit larger than the last parcel. Obviously, it's 160 acres minus. but the DNR has reviewed the parcel, and we have no objections to the bill.
Mr. Knopf?
Well, Mr. Chairman, could I just recommend that if you look on the on Senator, look on Senator's box bill, you'll see that there's a paragraph D. If you look on the top of page 3, it's Senate File 812. Usually we put something at the end that describes why the state is doing this. Reference for historical reference, and it's a kind of a boilerplate language for a lot of these. Some of them you have specific reasons, and if you look at that, it says the county has determined the county's land management interest would best be served if the lands were returned to private ownership. It's 3.6 to 3.7 on Senator Box bill. I would recommend adopting that same language to this one, adding a new paragraph D that says the county has determined that the county's land management interest would best be served if the lands were returned to private ownership. To add that as a new paragraph B to Senate File 958.
Senator Pariseau, are you willing to make that motion?
I would move that we take paragraph D out of, what was that number? I already buried it underneath.
The language
included. Yes, on Senator Box.
Thank you, Senator Pariseau. To the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Ingebretson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is a point of interest. You don't know where in Kitson County this is located other than the legal description.
Senator Ingebretson always gets concerned when we talk about Kitson
County. On my homeland.
Part of his heart is still there.
No, but it's just a river or a lake.
The homeland, Mr. Chair.
I understand.
it's going to take a lot of work. I'll check on it later.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Lewis.
It is in the township of Richardville, and there's no
Richardville
town near it.
Well, it's Kitson County, Ms. Lewis.
Can you raise the map, point your finger at it, and I'll
right in there.
That's the
right
township.
Center.
Okay.
The center.
I know what water it is. All right, thanks.
Other questions?
Very little water there,
you
by the way.
You control a lot.
If not, Senator Saxog?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move that Senate File 958 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in Senate File 1123.
As amended. To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you.
Jim's next.
Hey, Senator Olson is with us this morning, and that's good. We'll bring Senator Olson to the table with Senate File 822.
I haven't been there.
Really?
You've never been to
Members, you'll also want to direct your attention to a map that was handed out this morning. This will include that map. From the city of Wayzata, I believe. Senator Olson, good morning.
Oh, here, this one. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Glad I made it just in time.
Oh, you're fine.
Let me get my wits about me here. The Senate file, what's the number on here?
You're looking at Senate File 822.
822. Senate File 822 is an amendment to a bill that was passed last year. Regarding the land conveyance to the city of Wayzata. And if you will note, if you have the bill before you, that on lines, there's for some of the deleted language, but I want to point it out, lines 1-3 through 1.16, that the commissioner may sell to the city of Wayzata for less than the value of the land as determined by the commissioner, but the conveyance must provide that the land described in paragraph C be used for the public and reverts to the state if the city of Wayzata fails to provide for public use or abandons the public use of the land. That was the purpose of this conveying this very small piece of property. It's about 25 feet wide and about 150 feet long in that squiggle. That marked space is rather small. There's not much of anything that can be done with it for any other purpose. It was at one time a ditch, if you will, that was used for drainage. And in upgrading the way in which the handling of water and treating water quality, what is there now are two pipes. One that comes from a pond that treats the runoff in the northern part of the city that flows down through this pipe and enters into Lake Minnetonka clean. The other pipe that's in there collects the runoff from the area and feeds it into a pond where it is settled and treated before it will enter Lake Minnetonka. So it is not something that you could build on or do anything else because of the current use. What the city has had in its plans for the last 10 years is to improve the safety of the intersection that is close by, which is not very safe and has, you can see it to the right. There are a number of accidents there, and they could improve the safety by changing that intersection and this land. But they can, in fact, put a street over that without disrupting the underlying use, and it would continue to stay in public use. Now, the reason that it's here is there's been a little challenge in the negotiations in terms of what that price is. And I have the city manager is here with me today and probably can describe the process that's gone through thus far. And that is why at this point we are asking that it be conveyed, that it can be made without no consideration. And we'll explain that and be open to your questions and discuss that as well as allowing DNR to share their views on the issue as well.
Very good, Senator Olson. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Alan Orson, the city manager, city of Wayzata.
Mr. Orson, I'll just let you kind of tell your story, and then we may have some questions.
Thank you, Chair. As you can see, Superior Boulevard comes in at an angle, and that skewed angle, and it also is coming down a hill. The traffic speeds up and goes around that corner too fast for a downtown area, and we've had a number of pedestrian accidents, and last year a bicyclist was hit at that intersection. For over 10 years in our comp plan, it has been our intention to move that, to square up the intersection and put in a traffic light and just make it a much safer intersection. So our long-term plan has been to get the new roadway over the top of the storm sewer system, which really would be infeasible to move. As Senator Olson described the how that works. So at this point, the city has a full easement over the entire property, and the pipes that are in there cannot be moved, so we really valued the land at very little, in that the reason we need to acquire it is just to clean up in a plat so that that land will now be under a roadway and it will be a platted right-of-way. Beyond that, I guess I'm open for questions.
Mr. Chair, the initial cost that was conveyed to the city of Wayzata for purchase was?
Mr. Orson?
The Mr. Chair, the city assessor has a value on all tax-exempt parcels and had a value of $50,000 on this parcel. Okay. So we offered that to the DNR. They initially went out, got an appraisal, came back, and their appraisal seemingly ignored the fact that there was an easement over it and that it was encumbered with that easement and with the utility pipes, came back with a price close to $400,000. So we've been at loggerheads over the price.
Mr. Orson, that's kind of where it stopped?
Yes.
Then as far as the negotiation?
Well, initially the DNR came to the city with the 390-something appraisal. We went to them and said, well, since it's been on the books for $50,000, we'll offer $50,000. The DNR came back and countered at $300,000. And okay. That's when we've
now you've contacted. Moved to a sell for no consideration.
Correct.
At this point. We're going to let the DNR give us their perspective as well, but as I look at your map, I just want the members to understand you have superimposed what the new highway might look like, and there's a building down in that triangle that you're going right over the top of. What is that, and what's the plans for that building?
That is a parcel that is used as a gas station. Off to the left is the canopy over the gas pumps and then the small building. Mm. The city is in negotiation to acquire that parcel for right-of-way, and we also, along with that, have been co-tracking a condemnation procedure if we can't reach a price. At this point, we have a handshake agreement to purchase the gas station, and only thing that we're arguing about now is when the closing date would be and when monies would transfer.
And then as the project moves forward, your proposed route in from the east there looks like it would be awfully close to that larger building on the right side of the photo.
Right, and on the right side of the photo, there are two buildings that are under a proposal to redevelop that area. They would also be raised, and that whole area would be redeveloped. The residual part of the gas station and the existing Superior Boulevard would be vacated and put into a new development package for the west side of that intersection.
And Mr. Knopf, I mean, committee members should know that if we concur on this proposal, if that area of land is ever not used for public purpose, it would revert back to state. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it would revert back to the state. It's the same language that was in the Senator Stumpf bill for the Red Lake.
For the park?
For the park, where the land was being given to the city for no consideration, and that it just reverts back to the state if it's ever used for a non-public purpose.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I think those factors certainly should have an influence on the value. I think those of us that have been on Environment Committee did hear some of the concerns as we were analyzing the impact we were considering a bill of Senator Chaudhry's relative to restricting the sale of certain lands by DNR and the challenge that they are under because they are the largest owner of public lands in the state and have been given an ultimatum in terms of having to raise between $5 and $6 million dollars for a previous budget to fill a hole. And so it would be understandable why DNR is trying to find ways to get as much money as they can. But I think fair is fair, and I think that the trying to charge on a square foot basis as to what maybe the redeveloping land might cost is really not legitimate given the fact that this can't be used as a part of that, and there's it is a public land, and it is committed by our own statute that it must stay that way.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pariseau.
I have a question of the city administrator. I talk about the slope a little bit. I'm looking at the diagram, and you can just visualize wind and water.
Mr.
But what's the direction and the level of the slope in this diagram?
What is shown on this diagram is relatively flat. I guess I commented that Superior Boulevard, as you go north on that.
North and east.
And east, you go up a hill. So the general slope north of this is coming down a hillside.
Okay.
What's shown here, the gas station, the buildings, and that intersection is relatively flat.
And receiving all that slope.
I might point out that in the redevelopment on the easterly side, which will raise the other buildings, et cetera, currently that is largely a parking. It's the Wayzata Bay Shopping Center. It's a large mall area, and it's a 15-acre site that's basically all roof and all hard surface. Under the redevelopment proposal, there will be green roofs, and 100% of the water, runoff water from that, will be stored in basins filtered under the street and then infiltrated into the groundwater. So none of the future runoff water from that 15-acre site. So there's an environmental improvement also.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Ingebretson.
Just a point of interest, this is a pretty significant change here. Can you tell me what the total package is going to cost the city?
Mr. Orson?
Well, it's part of a tax increment bill, but the total cost of acquiring the gas station, the DNR land, and the redevelopment of Superior Boulevard. Now, there's also Lake Street and other intersections. That's about a $9.8 million overall project.
Members, I believe you've been handed a kind of a aerial view of the proposed development, and maybe this would be the time to bring DNR to the table.
Mr. Chair,
welcome.
Members. Thank you, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. What I did hand out is just a picture of the development as it is proposed right now. And the witness did discuss this, but this is one of the largest retail deals that was done in the state last year. The property, which makes up about two-thirds of the commercial property in downtown Wayzata, was sold for $24 million last year to Wayzata Bay Redevelopment Company, who's going to demolish the strip mall and make way for this $160 million mixed-use project to include residential, retail, and office space and a hotel. And this is actually an excerpt from an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune from last week, March 6, 2009. It's on the back of your packet, what I was just citing from. The issue that we're really talking about is an issue of money here at this point in time. The language that was passed last year would have allowed us to sell the land to Wayzata, who would have either kept it or sold it to the developer. The language would have allowed them to do that. It's my understanding. And we're here today talking about the appraisal that we performed on the land, which did consider the highest and best use, which was retail, and took into consideration the easements that are there. These dollars would be used to offset the $4.1 million land sale requirement that we're looking at. And as Senator Olson talked about the bill that Senator Chaudhry heard that would prohibit us from selling units of the Outdoor Rec Act in the policy committee this week, this would be one of those units that we would be able to sell that is not a piece of the Outdoor Rec Act. It's not a wildlife management area, aquatic management area, park, forested land. And our appraisal did come back at $390,000. We still do want to work with the city, but to have this bill pass and allow it to be transferred for no consideration really is just, once again, hamstringing the DNR from having any ability to make up any of those revenues to pay for past spending in the state government bill.
Questions for Senator Ingebretson, Mr. Okay, Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has there been any negotiations from this point? I mean, are we coming to any common ground here? Is there no common ground? Is that what I'm hearing?
Is it the full assessment or is it nothing? Members, we haven't heard. I can refer to Kathy Lewis, but I don't believe we have heard anything since the letter was transmitted on the $50,000 offer and then the bill was introduced.
Mr. Orson, you may have spoke to this. Did you have it assessed as well?
Oh, yeah.
Or appraised, I'm sorry?
Appraised by our city assessor.
And that's where you got your $50,000?
That's where the $50,000 came from.
And Mr. Meyer, our appraisers went out and...
We hired a licensed appraiser that came out. And when we appraise land, it's always appraised at the highest and best use, which was the retail. And going back to Senator Ingebrigtsen's question, we did counter, as was mentioned, for $300,000. After The way it went, and you can see that in the packet here, is the initial appraisal you can see dated October 20th in a communication to the city was for $392,000. January 21st, the city came back with an offer to us, January 1st, 2009, of $50,000. We replied back January 30th with an offer of $303,000 that would include closing costs. And that's where we stood. I think once the city received that letter, that offer, they then went ahead and introduced the legislation. You can see it's dated February 2nd. Mm-hmm. So it was right shortly after our last communication with them, and we have not had any formal communication about the issue since.
And Mr. Kanoff, just for clarification or history's sake, this is not unusual, this request?
Mr. Chairman, members, no. The state often conveys land to local units of government for no consideration as long as it stays in public use, as long as the reverter is included so that it can't be used for any development or sold to a private party for development. I mean, even the previous bill about Senator Stump's bill, Senate File 524, had the land being conveyed to Red Lake Falls, City of Red Lake Falls, for no consideration as long as they continued to in public ownership. This is not, the value of the land may be different than some of the ones in the that you otherwise do, but it's not that unusual to convey state land to a local unit of government as long as it remains in public use.
Mr. Orson, where is this project at today?
Well, it's received all the approvals at the city to go forward, but with the economic conditions, they had hoped to break ground this year, but they're basically delaying the project for a year, hoping for recovery to take hold.
Mr. Chair, can I just
questions.
Get
this
one
Senator
more?
Senator Ingebretson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One more thing clear in my mind. How did the DNR acquire this land to start with?
Mr. Meyer? Ms. Lewis?
How did Ms. Lewis answer that question?
Thank you. Ms. Lewis, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The DNR acquired this land through a water permit condition as they were diverting the creek. It was a requirement that they deed land to the DNR, and it became registered property, so we have good title to this piece of property. So it's a little bit of an unusual method, but that's how we obtained it, through the issuance of the water permit allowing the diversion of the creek.
Did the DNR pay for that strip of land?
Mr. Chair, no. The DNR, as a requirement to obtain the permit from the DNR, required that the land be conveyed, and this has been done in other instances in the past. It's not what you normally see today, but it was done in the past.
Members, what's your pleasure? Or further questions? Senator Ingebretson.
To understand, this is going to be discussed in the full committee eventually.
Bills here will be. Kind of the lands bill will be,
right.
Yes.
Okay.
Whether or not you include this provision is up to you. Members, I should maybe just point out, I think there's some different ways we can go. You can put it on the table for possible inclusion with my bill. You can send it on its own, with or without recommendation as well. Senator Chaudhry was indicated to me that he didn't want too many of these coming to him independently. So just for his considerations. This is a little unusual for this committee, but I mean it's one that belongs here.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Saxog.
Well, I think I would like to see a little more of a negotiation. I'd be willing to put it on the bill and pass it along, but I'd like to see a little more serious negotiation here. I mean, 50 and 300, that's a lot of slack, and for whatever reason. So I guess I'd just like to see a little more work done between the two parties to come to a conclusion.
Was that a motion laid on the table for possible inclusion?
I would make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Saxog, is a move that we take Senate File 822. Did we amend that at all, Mr. Knopf?
No.
Be laid on the table for possible inclusion in 1123. To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you for your time. Senator Latz, I promised you around 10 o'clock. You kept your part of the deal, so you're here, and you are last on the agenda, and we would like to be out of here by about 10:30, so I would invite you and your witness to come to the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How's the baby?
Baby's fine.
Good.
I live a complicated logistical life. The baby is safe, and I'm out the door.
Senator Latz to Senate File 44.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Senate File 44 would require the DNR to sell back to the Carlson family a piece of land on a stream that the Carlson family lost to a taking by the DNR about 30 years ago, so the DNR could set up a fish hatchery. And I think it's a story worth hearing and giving real consideration to whether or not, I don't know if the threshold question is whether the DNR legitimately took it in the first place, but ultimately the question is, do they still need it for the purposes that they took it? Or can the land be appropriately returned to the Carlsons for their family's continued use? It was their cabin. It's where they spent summers and so on and fishing and enjoyed their piece of nature. And so we have Mr. Carlson here with us, and he'd like to share his story with you.
Thank you, Senator. Members, Mr. Carlson has provided us with a lot of background on the family, on the land itself, and on his testimony, so you may want to reference that as well. But welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Jeff Carlson, and I'd like to thank the committee chairman and the members for allowing me to represent my family here.
Mr. Carlson, tell us your story.
My father purchased our property in 1948, put two cabins on it, and named it Sleepy Hollow. He used it to teach many Boy Scouts as he was a troop leader in the 50s, and family and friends to hunt, fish, camp, love and give back to the outdoors. In fact, my father was responsible for a lot of the plantation-style pine trees that are being harvested right now up there, in fact. So that's progression. In 1975, after a seven-year battle, the state took Sleepy Hollow from our family and friends. The reason they gave was for them, the DNR, to add on to the Spire Valley Trout Hatchery, which by admission of the DNR staff at the House conference meeting last March could not be done. The property simply can't support a fish hatchery because you can't drain a beaver pond to get the fish out. The property was posted as off-limits to the public for over 30 years for no good reason, so it wasn't used for the purpose it was taken, and it wasn't open to the public for public use. Shortly before the hearing, they went and changed the signs, but they still didn't. There's no access to the property. 2 years ago, we finally were able to get a meeting with the DNR. Every single reason they gave for their continued control of the Sleepy Hollow property, we were able to discredit. At the House hearing, they also admitted this. They now only have one reason. They just say, we're just not willing to give up any property. The DNR has strung us along and lied to everyone from myself to the governor about their reasons for taking and keeping this property. To the shame of the DNR, over the years, the trout stream, which we used to fish in and literally drink water out of, was allowed to fill in with sand from a power line that was run through, and it's now only from 3 to 6 inches deep, which will not support any aquatic life. They burned the two cabins down, the sauna, outhouse, and whatnot, in 1985, and the debris still lies on the ground. There's some pictures of what the property looks like today. And the only legitimate access to the property is blocked with a hole that was dug in the driveway and a sign right in the middle of it that until just recently said state property limited access. Last spring, while I was up at the property taking some pictures, the current operator of the Spire Valley Fish Hatchery confronted me. We introduced ourselves. His name was Gary Madsen, I believe. And the first question he asked me is, when I told him who I was, he said, why didn't you accept the offer of the 20 acres that we wanted to sell you on the other side of the highway? And I said, well, this is the first I've heard of it. So evidently staff told him that they offered us some other property, and the offer was never made. I did get an email that said from Mr. Deputy Commissioner Mayer that said he had a win-win proposition for us, and then we never got the proposition. By the end of our conversation, we talked about an hour and a half, I suppose. Gary said he didn't see any problem why we shouldn't get the property back. And the reason this is significant is Gary was the one person that Dave Shad used as an expert and used Gary's opinion to deny sale of this property back. And Gary formed that opinion by way of false statements and information given to him by Dave Shad and Ron Payer. Gary was told we intended to build our own trout hatchery, or we were going to pump water out of the ground by the billions of gallons and bottle it and sell it. And these things keep coming up from the DNR. I have no idea where they came from. And all we want to do is rebuild a cabin and go up there with our friends and family again, hunt fish and sleep in a cabin. My family has been deprived of use of Sleepy Hollow property for 34 years now for no legitimate reasons. Nothing can make up for the time we've lost or the fact my father died before we could have it returned to us. But you can help make things right by seeing it's returned to us now. My family owning this property, again, will in no way negatively affect the operation of the current hatchery, Scout Camp Pond, or legal use of the surrounding public lands. In fact, the pond was named Squaw Pond, and when it was renamed Scout Camp Pond, and I got to believe that my dad had something to do with that because he was the only one in history that ever brought Boy Scout troops up there. And why are we at this point here? I don't believe this should have ever got to a legislative or legal standing here. We're here because the DNR has not dealt been honorable or truthful with us for many years. The commissioner is only responsible to the governor. The staff at the Fisheries Division do as they please to whomever they please with no repercussions. They have no reason to be honorable. I think it's vital that this legislature actually takes over control of this and oversees it, because there's some real problems there. And this offer, my family, is, I think it's a good deal for the state. The property is not used for anything. It's a garbage dump. The legislature has directed the DNR to sell off a good deal of property. The DNR has waited long enough now that actually the market's tanked, so that's another negative on their side. And I've been monitoring the MLS listings for several years here, and I've only found one property that's similar to ours, where it's unbuildable, basically, and wetland. And it's listed for almost the same price that was given to us in 1975. That's how much the market's tanked here. And we're willing to purchase this property back, and the state needs money, and we'd be willing to buy the whole 40 back, minus the ingress-egress that the DNR has set up for the pond on the far south end. I've distributed some pictures and some background. I'd take any questions you have. My phone numbers are on here. I'd like to just say that I started this with with trust the DNR was honest and worthy of the power they've been granted by the legislature. It took a year or so to realize being lied to, led on, and made several promises, and then simply ignored by the DNR. In fact, they ignored my lawyer when I had a lawyer hired, that they weren't going to deal with me in good faith. You know, I let myself be manipulated by the staff, and then I did exactly what the staff wanted. I got angry and started burning bridges, and that's my weakness, and it's my fault, and that's all I can say about that. But for the last several months, I've worked hard to repair some of these bridges, and whether I have or not, no one can deny my family has been done a wrong, and the DNR staff routinely abuses their power over everyone from sportsmen to farmers and landowners, which is, I have a website, and I'm getting incredible stories from all over the state from people on this. My property is just the tip of the iceberg. And the one thing that's gotten lost here is the most important lesson any of us should have learned, and that's the difference between right and wrong and the will to live by that. And with that, if you have any questions for me, I would love to answer anything you...
Thank you, Mr. Carlson, for all of the information and for the civil testimony. And we certainly are willing to hear your opinions of the DNR, but we'll try to focus just on this issue for the rest of the hearing. I don't know if I should ask you how Grandpa Carlson got his nickname, but I see you called him Poops, so there's some good stories in your family's history on enjoying that property. I appreciate your thoroughness there. Is there a story?
Well, my grandfather actually was the last working blacksmith in the city of Minneapolis and had all the old milk wagons. And, in fact, his shop and property was a historic land site right up until when we needed the Cedar Square apartments, and then it became available to be demolished.
Mr. Carlson, how much did your family get paid for that property?
$7,800 for the property and $400 for the mineral rights.
So for $8,200.
Right.
How close is that property to this trout or to this fishery, Spire Valley?
Excuse me. Roughly a half a mile downstream.
From where the cabins were, or from the property line, or
the state property. They have a lot of property there, so the state property and our property were adjoining, but from the actual fish hatchery to where our cabins were, or to our property, I should say, was roughly a half a mile.
Senator Ingebretson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think to that point, so you were that far away from the fish hatchery. What was the reason for them obtaining your property? What was it?
They claimed they were going to add on to the fish hatchery and make the pond into a fish hatchery.
Mr. Meyer, will you be presenting the DNR's position on this? Why don't you come to the table, and we'll just try to get...
got another follow-up.
Have you seen... I'm sorry, Senator Ingebretson. Yeah,
just one follow-up, please, Mr. Chair. So this happened back in 74, is that right?
75, sir.
75. And is it just recently now that you tried to obtain this property back?
Mr. Carlson?
Over the years, both my family and my cousin's family have contacted the DNR, and we just always have the same response. We're just not willing to sell that property. And then when the eminent domain law was passed, I really thought a precedent is set here, and the legislature has decided that if property is taken and not used for the purpose it was taken in 7 years, it should be sold back. And I thought, even though it's not retroactive, I feel a precedent is set there, and your will has been made and known to everybody now, and I just feel this is a situation where we should follow.
Mr. Meyer, have you had an opportunity to review the pictures and read the family, the
Mr.
Carlson
Chair,
family?
Mr. Chair, members, yes, again, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. This issue was before the legislature last session as well. Both bodies decided not to contain it in the land sales bill. Going back to the package that was presented to you, in 2007, we did meet with the Carlson family. We did discuss their concerns and their issues. We did take a long look at the possibility of reselling the land. It was determined because of resource benefit, the location of it, hydrology and those types of things, that the land should be retained in public ownership. And actually, just last night in the township and the county, there was a meeting, and it was our indication from the county commissioner from that district that he was going to be going back to Cass County Board seeking a resolution that they support keeping this land in public ownership. So we're looking for that to come forward here in the coming weeks. But we do understand the family's concerns, and we are sympathetic with their issues, but it is an issue of protecting land for the resource. And, you know, basically we can talk about the hydrology or the specifics of the property if you want to get into that. But
well,
that's...
I am curious, first of all, where it was heard last year. We're all kind of...
Well, maybe it was not heard in the Senate, Mr. Chair. I know it was heard in the House, and the House did not contain it in their bill. I thought that there was a hearing in the Senate as well. There must not have been.
And then, according to Mr. Carlson, the intent appeared to be to the expansion of the Spire Valley Trout Hatchery, which never occurred. Did the DNR make a mistake when they thought that was a good idea, or what happened on the trout hatchery?
Mr. Chair, members, the basic need to acquire the land was try to protect the hydrology of the land. The groundwater contained underneath this is pretty close to the surface, and the hydrologic head is such that drilling into that groundwater would cause, if you put a well in there, there would be problems. We tried to drill another well at the fish hatchery, and it brought down the static head of the water at the fish hatchery, and we had to go through some extensive work to cap that well then. I can have Mr. Pyerbrick come up and talk more specifically about the hatchery and the connectedness and the operations of that, if you so desire to get into those issues.
So the expansion, Mr. Meyer, was abandoned, and then the land just sat at that point?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to bring up Mr. Pyer from our Fisheries, Fish and Wildlife Division.
I'd
appreciate
that. You
can talk about those issues.
Thank you. Mr. Pyer, thank you for helping us work through this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Ron Pyer, DNR Fisheries. And Mr. Chairman, to the question, and did we abandon? In the documentation that I've seen, which is federal aid documentation, initial project proposals, I didn't see anything that indicated hatchery expansion, and that may have been discussed. Initially, that hatchery was looked to produce coho salmon and lake trout and other species, and as time went on, but what I did see was protection of that aquifer, and the spring source is iron-free water. It's kind of the lifeblood, and we have found that if you drill a well, it creates problems, excuse me, for our hatchery operations. Downstream initially, there was also some concern that if there's sediment or there's phosphorus, having it in private ownership might open up some litigation venues. The pond down there serves as a settling basin. Our water's pretty clean. We have had it tested. We're not required to have an NPDES permit, but we've had the water tested, and it's pretty clean. But as that water flows into the stream and then ultimately into Roosevelt Lake, that beaver pond can serve as a settling basin for phosphorus and other issues. So our staff, our hatchery staff, feel it is a pretty integral component of the hatchery. So for the purposes it was taken, kind of ancillary since that time, there is a brook trout stream there. There are anglers and hunters that use the property. Provides a habitat corridor. So in terms of values to the state, there's some recreational values and other values of that piece of property that is available to the public.
Mr. Pryor, Senator Ingebrigtsen, go ahead.
Go ahead. I've got a couple questions, I guess, Mr. Chair. You said something about the phosphorus getting into the stream and litigation over that. What does that mean?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, this was in a draft proposal that was put in and concerns. When you have hatchery effluent, especially a number of years ago, there's some concern that effluent would have elevated levels of phosphorus, sediments, other things, and there was just a sense there that if that land were in private ownership and we had an issue with the hatchery effluent of some type, then that would impact those private landowners. So I was referring, as I look through the history on why we acquired that property, I didn't see any specific reference to pond expansion, and I won't argue that perhaps that wasn't discussed by people in the documentation I saw. I didn't see it. But that was a buffer piece for that property downstream, not only from impacting private ownership, but that lake might serve as a settling basin before that water continued into the trout stream and on into Roosevelt Lake.
Follow up?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And how far south of the old Carlson property is the next piece of private property? You're downstream, I understand. So how far downstream from you?
Answer that.
Yeah.
Mr. Carlson.
Adjoining property on the same pond. So there's still private ownership on that settling basin, as they refer to it. There's also private properties within hundreds of yards to the north side, the upstream side of the hatchery, with wells. And the aquifer from what I've been told by a geologist, actually goes from basically Duluth to Brainerd. Huge. The static head is 152 feet below where the cabin would be. So the chance of that bleeding out, if somebody did drill a well, which nobody even said we were gonna, which would have to be okayed by the county anyways. So I don't think that's a point. And as far as the original paperwork on this, the first person I contacted with the DNR told me he had the official file in front of him, and there was no reason given for why the property was taken. And he said there was no reason they couldn't return it to us, and they weren't using it. And then the next day I got a call from another gentleman from the DNR that said the property was taken for the aquatic management system, which wasn't around in 75. And I believe the property was just put into that 6 or 8 months after I started this to really go after the property. So I guess we don't really know what the official status was. There seems to be two different reports out there.
And Mr. Pyer, you mentioned that the public uses it, but we've heard Mr. Carlson testify that it's signed and blocked. And how does the public get in there?
Mr. Chairman, the hatchery grounds themselves with the buildings and the raceways and a buffer area have always been posted against no trespassing to keep biosecurity up and keep contamination from our ponds. But the area, these other areas that were developed, these properties below the hatchery, as I understand it, have been open to the public, and hunters and anglers have used that property. We have recently classified that property as an aquatic management area, but that was part of the 2000 legislation that created AMAs, and we've converted 1,300 various properties around the state from FMAs to AMAs, so it was a circumstance of timing rather than anything else.
Mr. Pyer, is this creek filling in?
Mr. Chairman, there's some sediment buildup in the stream. We've got a construction crew that is coming down. There's also some debris. My understanding is we needed to remove some beaver dams. When we blew those, there's some debris. There's also some debris that's been there for years and years. So we are going in and cleaning that. I think the sediment buildup, and I would need to check on that specifically, but there is a sediment buildup starting to occur in the stream.
Mr. Carlson, what might this property be worth today?
As I said, I've been looking at the MLS. I found only one property that was basically unbuildable. There's roughly a half an acre of this property that's stable. The rest is springs coming up and wetland and whatnot. And that property was listed for $400 an acre, and it's been on sale for several months, and they have not had any offers or interest in it. So I have to assume that this property is going to be somewhere around that, and that's also on a wetland and whatnot.
And that's 40 acres, Mr. Carlson?
That's 160 acres, actually.
160 acres.
Yeah.
Senator Ingebretson?
Just a couple follow-ups. So you say his testimony here is that there was a couple of property owners across the creek that actually have wells, and the county. So the county would be the deciding factor should they retain ownership. They would be the one that would give them permission to drill the well, or how would that work?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebretson, I'm not sure on the mechanics of that particular piece. I know that that aquifer that actually feeds the hatchery is relatively small, and whether the Carlsons owned it or somebody else, we would have. That's one of the main concerns, that if a well was there, we'd lose the head to the hatchery. And I'm sure the county would have a role in there. The county doesn't allow sand points anymore, so it would need to be a drilled well.
Follow up? Mr. Carlson has a follow up. I'd like to hear that if I could, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, my conversation with Gary Madsen, who is their supposed expert, told me that if we were to put a well in for personal weekend use, we could turn that well on and pump water out 724, 365, and it would have zero effect on that aquifer. In fact, at one point, the DNR had a contention that that aquifer ran only under our property and the fish hatchery property, and it ran from south to north, which is not correct. So the this is part of my frustration here is not only getting answers from the DNR, but getting honest answers and an honest dealing here. It's incredibly frustrating.
I'm going to have Mr. Knopf just spend a couple minutes. He's been doing some research on this property, and I think he can take us back quite a ways, actually. Mr. Knopf?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Meyer just gave me a copy of the 69 law that this was acquired under. What's interesting is that in Section 1, broad authority was given to the Commissioner of Administration to acquire by gift, purchase, or condemnation any or all the lands described in this section for the spawning areas designated. So in other words, the general purpose was for spawning areas. But listed, and then there were a number of different parcels that were named and the property description given. And subdivision 6 is the one that's included in this bill, and it was called the Spire Valley Trout Raising Facility. That's the name of the subdivision, but it does appear that the reason for the acquisition was for spawning areas, not necessarily for raising trout. I'm not sure. I was not around in 1969, so I don't know the history as to why it was done in this manner.
Mr. Pryor.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Knopf, nor was I, so I'm reading the history on this, but it clearly wouldn't be a spawning area. It's a cold water hatchery. The eggs are brought there. So that property as a spawning area, a natural spawning area, wouldn't be an applicable statement. It could be that they were thinking of pond construction or raceways, but generally we don't have spawning areas per se in our cold water hatcheries.
Oh, Mr. Knopf. Mr. Chairman, that is kind of strange then the way all the other subdivisions in here are for spawning areas. And in this one, even though it says in the beginning they're supposed to be acquired for the spawning areas designated. I mean that's the general provision on the condemnation authority that was given to the Commissioner of Administration at the time. And then it lists subdivision 6 in it, so I'm assuming, the way you would read this is subdivision 1 would clearly state that it's for the spawning areas designated, and now and if subdivision 6 does not include spawning areas, it's kind of a strange law. But again, that was 1969.
Mr. Carlson. Mr. Pyre, excuse me, did you want to comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, just that in the settlement, the condemnation proceedings, there are several different things that were listed. It was for purposes of the Spire Valley Trout Rearing Facility. It was in one place, I think one of the documents still had for trunk highway purposes. So some of that language back then wasn't the tightest. And that's when, as I searched it, I found nothing in there other than that general reference. And that didn't register in terms of pond construction, nor have we talked about that in the times that I've been involved in the hatchery. So I just wanted to say there's several.
Were you quoting from the eminent domain document, or?
Well, no, Mr. Chairman, I was just quoting from the law, and I assume that the eminent domain would have to follow the law that gave the authority for the eminent domain. And it's just that's what's kind of strange is it says it's for spawning areas, and if there aren't spawning areas, it's kind of odd that it would be that they would be able to use that law to acquire it unless they were used in some other eminent domain procedure. But it does it does raise some issues as to whether or not that would have the acquisition would have been for any other purposes.
Mr. Carlson, now to your point.
The state talks about the public using it, and it was listed as limited access is what the sign said. And if you call the DNR, they said you're not allowed to walk across that property. There's a small section about 15 feet wide at the south end that's the legal ingress egress. It's posted. And Gary Madsen, the operator up there, when I asked him how many people fish down there, he said at the best 2 to 3 times a year somebody will go fish on that pond. It was normally my cousins. And the only way they could get to it was to paddle up the creek, which there was some problems with the other people on the property. They built a dam across the creek and a little walk bridge. So then the water wasn't navigable anymore. So my contention is the property was not open for the public to use. And it is open now, but there's no access to it unless you park right on the highway. and there's some pictures in there of the parking arrangements. One person can pull in a driveway. Anybody else has to park on a three-foot shoulder, gravel shoulder, which is not very safe. So I don't believe that the property's been open, and they, in fact, they electroshocked the whole length of the 3 miles of the creek in 2006, and they got 8 fish out of it when they tried to do a count on it. So the property has not been taken care of by the DNR at all.
Senator Latz, as we move along here, I just wanted to give you some time to think about line 1.12, where you are asking that we sell this if we move forward at less than value. And that may cause me some anxiety, and so you may want to be thinking about how that might look differently.
I'm willing to work with the committee on that.
Thank you. Questions? Further comment, Mr. Carlson?
I think what this boils down to is I don't have a whole lot of lawyers to work with. They're a big state budget. You know, I have myself and Senator Latz and Representative Simon. Representative Seifert's also been helping me out on this. But, you know, just because something's legal doesn't mean it's right. Sometimes you have to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. I can remember back when Jim Bono was getting the Patriot Guard Rider started in Minnesota, and I was working with him. And people wanted to, newspapers wanted to talk to him and tell him how great he was. And he says, no. He says, I'm not great. He said, the people that we're helping are great. I'm just doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Are there others here who would like to testify for or against this provision that we're looking at? Mr. Meyer, anything else that you would conclude from the DNR's perspective?
Mr. Chair, members, just to reiterate, we did look at this property very closely after that determination. It was decided to keep this property in public ownership. And also, this is a type of parcel that, as we discussed in the policy committee this week, in the direction the policy committee has given the DNR, they should not be selling. This would be one of those parcels, aquatic management area, open access. It would be one of those parcels that we're getting mixed messages from the legislature on what we should be doing with land sales, and it's something that we need to clarify one way or the other. So,
Mr. Meyer, or maybe Mr. Knopf, I guess, are we typically in the habit of selling property that we haven't had for sale? You were not looking for buyers, or Mr. Knopf. Do we get these requests occasionally, and do we entertain them, or?
Occasionally, it's very, you know, the whole idea, and if you look on one point, line 1.8 of the bill, the Commissioner of Natural Resources shall sell. That's usually the commissioner's granted authority to sell and not required to sell. But in some instances where the commissioner is a reluctant party, the legislature has directed the commissioner to sell lands in certain situations. And sometimes, actually, the department has asked for that because it gives them more authority to do something that's been controversial out in different parts of the state.
We're not breaking new ground here, Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chairman, you're not breaking completely new ground, but it is ground that's not often done. It's considered in more extreme circumstances when the commissioner is either reluctant or, like I said, because of some controversy that the legislature directs the commissioner to sell it. And not given just the authorization.
Senator Latz, any? I'm sorry. I'm going to have Senator Engelbretson ask his question.
Oh, I don't have a question. I just got a comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a little follow-up on what Commissioner Meyer is saying. We are sending mixed messages here to the DNR. We pass a law for them to sell $6 million worth of property, and then we tell them later, gee whiz, we don't want that to happen. So we definitely have to work on that and get that squared away. And I certainly understand I can get a feel for the history of this land here. This is something that goes a long ways back, and it should be considered, especially in light of the private ownership alongside the creek already. So I think we should be not necessarily sympathetic to this, but we certainly should be considering this sale. But again, we got to, if we do, we've got to be mindful of the charge that we gave the DNR. I mean, we told them to sell some land, and then we're going to tell them not to. So I don't know if that was a
an answer or any kind. It just we are sending some mixed messages here.
Senator Latz, you'll get last word.
Mr. Chairman, members, first of all, thank you for taking the time to consider this situation. As you can tell, Mr. Carlson is rather frustrated with his experience with the DNR, and it's been building for 30 years within his family. And he feels it was wrongfully taken in the first place, maybe a bait and switch if you look at the statutory history. Maybe it was intentional or maybe it was just not intentional, but it sounds like the original purposes haven't been met, and there have been subsequent determinations as, you know, excuses, if you will, given to hang on to the land. But it certainly appears, if there are other private property, as Senator Ingebrigtsen said, on the basin itself as well as on the creek, that some appropriate private use can be made there without interfering with the hatchery operations. And I would also suspect if there were some appropriate restrictive covenants attached to the land that prevented certain kinds of use, or at least without going through some kind of permitting process, like the county, I think, would have to approve a well anyway, is my understanding. It's your area, not mine specifically, but... it seems to me that the private use of this land could be restored to the Carlsons without interfering with the interests of the public in maintaining either the hatchery or the aquifer.
Senator Latz, have you come up with some comfort language for me on 1.12?
May I have a moment, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Latz, council has suggested that we change on line 1.12, if we change the shall to may, or we can leave the shall in there and strike less than and put in appraised value.
Or I suppose we could do both. They may sell for less
may
than
sell
the
land
value
for
the appraised value.
The commissioner may sell the land for the appraised value? Or did you want to leave less than in there as well?
May sell for less or.
Less than or the appraised value?
Less than or the appraised value. May sell for less than or the appraised value. I would assume they're going to want to sell it for the appraised value if they're required to sell, but.
Mr. Knopf, did you get that?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Latz.
Appraised value would be just fine. We can strike the less then.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, members, kind of going off of what Senator Ingebrigtsen was saying, if it is the committee's desire to have the department sell this land, we would prefer that this language say that on lines 1.18, the department shall sell by public sale, and then on 1.17, strike 9409 and 9410. And then on lines 1.12, just delete the language after the period so that we would be able to sell this at public auction for the highest value we could get. And I think we would make that determination on where those funds would go at that time, rather the land acquisition account or to offset the land sale requirements of the 2007 state government to finance bill.
Senator Latz.
We would strongly oppose that suggestion. Just to put this on the market to the public would potentially not restore the land to the Carlsons, from whom they believe it was perhaps illegally and certainly inappropriately taken in the first place. The whole purpose of this bill was to return the land to the Carlson family. If it's to be done at an appraised value, then that's fine. The DNR can get their fair value for the land, and apparently there's some comparable land on the market anyway in the area that would give a benchmark. But to put it up for auction at this point with the potential that the Carlsons would have to pay more than the appraised value or have to fight against others and may not get it back at all, that would be an extra kick in the teeth to the Carlson family. I think it would be completely inappropriate. The state can get the appraised value out of it. That's all I think the state should fairly recover from it under the circumstances.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Meyer, the lands that you're selling per that statute that we laid upon the DNR to just to come up with $6 million worth of revenue, is that the way all that, that land is being sold, is by public auction?
Mr. Chair, members, Mr. yes. The spring land sales bill is all public auction, the document that we handed out in committee.
Just a follow-up then. Mr. Chair and members, I guess I certainly would be cautious to deviate from that. If we're going to be selling everybody else's that way, we should be looking at doing the same here. I know the fairness thing is not very acceptable to the Carlsons, but if we're going to do it for one, are we going to end up doing it for all? That's my fear.
Just some private sales. It's extenuating circumstances.
Mr. Kanoff?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, you were just asking, in extenuating circumstances, the state does authorize private sales of state land, and you also authorize private sales of tax forfeited lands, which are a special kind of state land. So it is, it's not, in every year there are private sales authorized by the legislature. Every year there are.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, we'd be comfortable.
Senator Letts.
We'd be comfortable with an amendment that struck less than. Perhaps after the insert appraised.
I'm not allowed to make motions, so if you can catch the eye of another member, maybe somebody will offer that for you, Senator.
I would certainly do that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen moves that on line 1.12, we strike less than and insert the appraised.
Before value, insert appraised.
Before value, insert appraised. So the sentence would read, the commissioner shall sell the land for the appraised value of the land as determined by the commissioner. Is that a little awkward, Senator Kanoff? Or?
No, excuse me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you wouldn't have to. You do need to have as determined by the commissioner, because otherwise it whose appraiser is going to be overriding? You could have it negotiated, but you just. That's pretty standard to say, as determined by the commissioner, that the appraised value.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Could you read that for me again?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, it'll read now, the commissioner shall sell the land for the appraised value of the land as determined by the commissioner.
We have a motion in front of us to strike less than and insert appraised between the and value. To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, may I also, one addition, we talked earlier about it, paragraph D and another bill. That was a little bit different, though. Let me suggest after 1.16 and inserting a new paragraph D, and that would state, the state has determined that the land is not being used for the purpose for which it was acquired and should be returned to the private ownership. Again, with these land sales, especially ones where you're requiring a sale, it's best to have some kind of a history in the law with that last paragraph. It's the tradition we've been maintaining for many years.
Senator Pariseau, are you willing to
I would agree to insert what Mr. Kanoff just told us, yes.
To the amendment by Senator Pariseau to insert letter D and the appropriate language, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Letts.
Perhaps I could ask Mr. Kanoff a question. What is it in the bill here that would require the land be privately sold back to the Carlsons as opposed to a private sale to anyone else?
Mr. Kanoff?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Letts, there is nothing in here that would do that. What you could do is you could, on line 1.8, insert by private sale to the previous owner. And that would then take care of it.
Mr. Chairman, I would
Senator Letts.
Any members of the committee be willing to offer that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would offer that amendment.
Senator Pariseau amends Senate File 44 on line 1.8 to say after sale, insert to the previous owner.
Mr. Chairman, since the owner was not alive now, you might want to say to the previous owner or a family member of the previous owner.
My mother's still alive, and she was on the.
Oh, okay. So it could be to the previous owner then. Okay.
Well, you could put to the previous owner's family would be very good too. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, that could be a little bit ambiguous or a little bit. The previous owner, as long as there's somebody around who was a previous owner.
We're going to leave it.
She in good health?
Mr. Knopf?
Not really.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think
Mr. Chairman,
you can.
She's not in good health. How about previous owner or heir?
Or heir. Okay.
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Pariseau. So moves. To amend Senate File 44 on line 1.8, after the word sale, insert to the previous owner or heir. To that amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Members, what's your pleasure with Senate File 44? As amended.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pariseau.
I would move that we would pass it to the floor. Approve it and pass it to the floor.
I believe this one would have to go through the full committee yet, yeah. Senator Pariseau.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
And we
haven't tried that one yet today.
We really
That's
haven't.
That's why I didn't know what we were doing
I think
today.
Everything that comes out of here goes through our full environment committee yet.
Right.
And this is a particular one that it is our discretion, but Senator Chaudhry had asked that we don't carve too many out today, and especially he was concerned about lengthy testimony in full committee with this one. But it's the wishes of the committee.
Chair.
Senator Ingebretson.
Just a point of I suppose point of order, I guess. So then when it goes to the committee, it'll be determined whether it stands alone before it leaves that committee?
If it
goes. Is that what Senator Pariseau wants to do?
If she wants to send it to the committee alone?
Right.
Then it would be up to Senator Letts to try to get a hearing in committee on that bill.
Otherwise it goes in the, gets laid over for the.
You can vote it down here, and then it stops. You can lay it on the table for possible inclusion with our other bills. You can send it to full committee with recommendation to pass, and you can send it to full committee with no recommendation.
Did we send it to the committee already?
No.
We didn't take action
on it. Is that your motion?
Well, I was wondering if we acted upon it. I can't
recall. We did not.
I would move
the motion is?
The motion, I would move that we send it to the full committee with the recommendation that it pass to the floor. Itself.
We have a motion before us, members, to take Senate File 44 as amended to be sent to the full Committee on Environment and Natural Resources with the recommendation to pass. Questions?
Mr. Chair, that would be by itself?
On its own.
On its own.
And that would put the burden back on Senator Letts to get a hearing.
May I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
You may. Senator Letts.
Procedurally, if it gets handled differently, is there a mechanism by which it could be handled where it would not be dependent upon my getting a full hearing in front of the Environment Committee, but still keep it moving
forward? Senator Letts, yes, it would. If we lay this on the table for possible inclusion, we have heard several other bills today, and we're going to bundle those together. If it was included in that bigger bundle, then it would come to the full committee in that bundle. At that point, it could be carved out, or it could be recommended to pass, or sent forward without recommendation.
But at that point, essentially that would guarantee it a hearing in front of the full committee, because that whole bundle is going to have to be heard. Is that right?
That is correct.
If it were the will of the committee, that would be my preference.
So that would be your preference?
Yes.
We'll send it, Mr. Chairman, I would change my motion to just send it to the full committee for consideration.
Senator Parasol.
Consideration.
Senator Parasol, actually, I believe you would like to move that we lay it on the table for possible inclusion.
Okay.
In our 1123.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Ms. Patnold?
Okay, Senator Ingalbertson?
Yes.
Senator Parasol?
Yes.
Senator Saxhawk?
No.
Senator Scogin?
Yes. 3-1, the motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Letts. Thank you, Mr. Carlson.
Thank you.
We have to.
You can stay here.
Okay.
You're not presenting your bill.
But I need somebody else to make the motion.
Somebody else needs to make the motion.
Members, I'm looking for a motion to take 1123 off the table.
So moved.
Senator Saxhawk moves that we take 1123 off the table. To that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. 1123 is off the table. And now, Mr. Knopf, I believe we can amend 1123 with these other bills we've heard. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you can do them all in one motion or you can do them individually. But if you want to do them all in one motion, somebody would move the contents as amended by subcommittee of all the list of bills that are on here to be included as a in your subcommittee report to be amended to Senate File 1123, and that they be adopted as a along with the contents of Senate File 1123 as a delete everything amendment. So you can do it all in one fell swoop if that's the will of the committee. Or you can do them individually. I guess it's up to the motions that members want to make.
Come forward.
What is the chair's wish?
They're all have been laid on the table for possible inclusion. I would certainly entertain a motion to take them all as a group.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Parasol, if you want to make the motion or somebody wants to make it, I can read it. I can read what it would be.
I would move that we take the bulk, that we take all the bills we've passed. Well, we haven't passed any, have we? We haven't passed any. We've just put them on the table.
Yeah.
Are all the bills on the agenda on the table? That's my question first.
Yes, they are, Senator Parasol.
Then I would move that we pass the entire batch to the full committee.
Thank you. Mr. Knopf, how does that read?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that would just be, you've got 1123 before you now, is an omnibus bill. And what you would do is all of that is the motion is to amend the contents of Senate File 175, 176, 812, 524, 958, 822, and 44, the contents as amended by subcommittee to be included as an amendment to Senate File 1123, and that the entire contents of 1123 plus the named bills be adopted as a delete everything amendment to Senate File 1123.
To that